sound check.
Good morning. Are you ready for the fight of the ages? The smackdown of the ages. Are you ready? If you're not ready, you're already in it, whether you realize it or not. You're in the smackdown of the ages. The smackdown of the ages. You're in it. Now, this last couple of weeks, we've talked about the body. We've talked about the soul. And this week, we're talking about the spirit. And don't you know there's war between the spirit and the flesh? There is the battle of the ages. And it's in each one of us. And what we need to be is we need to be alive in our spirits. We need to be alive to Jesus and focused on Him. So it is the battle of the ages, and it's right here within each and every one of us. The scripture, Galatians 5:16-18, most of us know this. It says, if then, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not know the things that you wish, or you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So there is a war between the Spirit and the flesh. What are you going to come under today? Are you going to come under the Spirit? Or are you going to come under the flesh? Are you going to live and walk by your flesh? Or are you going to walk by the Spirit of God? Over in Acts 23, verse 8. One of the things about walking in the flesh is that sometimes we think we know this. I'm qualified for this. I know what to do because I've trained. And the moment that we do that, we're walking in the flesh. We're not walking according to the Spirit. The only way that any of us are qualified is when we put aside our flesh and we are led by God's Spirit. You see, the Sadducees, they thought that they knew it. Acts 23, verse 8. The Sadducees was the predominant religious people of the first century church. They were the leaders. They knew it. They knew what to look for. They were the smart ones. And everybody looked to them for answers. It says, for the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. You see, the Sadducees, they knew that there was no resurrection. Guess what that means? No resurrection, no salvation, no eternal life through Jesus. They were missing because of their flesh, because of their own ideas, they were missing the one who came to save each and every one of us. They were missing it because of their religion. So, the battle between the flesh and the Spirit goes on. So those religious people, they denied the Spirit. They denied angels. How could they do that when the angels were in their scriptures? James 4:6. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. One of the things I've puzzled about in my own life, why, God, why won't you bless me? Why won't you bless me? And he told me, he out and out told me, he said, I resist the proud. Why would I bless you? God resists the proud. And I had to repent. I had to repent of that arrogance that thought I was smart enough, I was good enough, I knew enough. See, that was my flesh. I had confidence in my own flesh. And God resisted that. He said, I won't bless your flesh. God wants us to be alive in the Spirit. We need to be alive in the Spirit. Over in Proverbs 3:34, same scripture, Old Testament. Surely he scorns the scornful, but gives grace to the humble. So not only is this proud person being haughty, they are scorning others. They are scorning others because they just don't live up to their standards. They're being scornful and hateful. People, we have a world out there that is lost in sin. Yes, they do need to hear the truth. They do need to hear the truth. But we're no better than they are. We're no better than they are. What we need for them is redemption. They can't help but act how they act because they're in their flesh. Their spirits have not been made alive. They can't help it. They're still under the curse and living under the destruction of the devil. You're no better than they are. Your spirit's been made alive. That's the difference. It's not your flesh that's better than their flesh. God has quickened your spirit. He has made you alive. It's the battle of the ages. Now, in review of the last couple Sundays, let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, come into this place, Lord God. May your word penetrate deep into our hearts to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the flesh, the joints, the bones, and the marrow. Lord, your word, may it penetrate deep inside of us today. Open our hearts, open our minds to receive what you have from us today. Lord God, there's people in our midst, our own beloved sheep, Lord God, who need a touch from you today. They need healing. They need salvation to the full. Lord God, that you would bring that, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, as we talk about the spirit, the soul, and the body, this scripture lays it out fairly plain. You know, I'm not adequate. I don't understand all things. I was blessed this morning. My dad didn't know what to do with a passage in the scripture that talked about snake charmers and poisonous serpents. It wasn't, you know, sometimes we don't understand everything in the scripture perfectly. But there's a danger for us to think that we do. We do understand. We know we can divide it perfectly. Please stay out of your flesh. Don't read into the scripture what's not there. There's so many traditions of men, traditions of the church, that have been handed down from generation to generation that aren't in the book. They made it up. The stuff's not in there. When you search and search, you won't find it in there. Many, many doctrines. So we need to come back to the Word and read it, not through the power of our flesh, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. If we look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we see the Spirit. In the Greek, that's the pneuma. It's almost like breath. I don't fully understand how all these work together. I know the Spirit is something that isn't tangible. It's kind of like if I had a CD and said, "Hey, here's my music CD. Listen to all the songs of MPK." Is that CD? Is there music? If I hold that up, can you hear the music? No. The music's not there. You have to unlock the music. Our brains, there's not a thought in my brain. Is that profound? Thoughts are beyond our minds. Our minds simply hold thoughts. These bodies simply hold a whole nother component that's beyond our physical, the sum of our physical parts. Our spirit is beyond even our mind, even our heart. It's beyond that. And it's something that God wants to make alive within every one of us. We have the pneuma. We have the soul, which is the psyche. We have the body, which is the soma, where we get the concept of the flesh. Over in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, this is what needs to happen within every one of us. "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. We must be born again. In our flesh, we can't understand anything of God. Only by God's Spirit, only when you're born again. And Jesus wants to do that in you. He wants to make you alive and baptize you with His Spirit and open up your understanding to His truth. And that can only be done when we put aside the flesh and we're made alive to His Spirit. Made our spirits alive to His Spirit. Review and going on a little bit. Over in Hebrews 11:6, this is a spirit act, by the way. This is something spiritual. Hebrews 11:6 is, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do you get that? You have to believe that He is. The Sadducees didn't believe in the Spirit. How are they going to believe in the resurrection? When they don't believe there's a spirit that was going to rise from the dead. This world, a lot of the world doesn't believe in the spiritual. They don't even think it exists. So first, we have to believe that God exists. And that He is willing, that He is able and willing, He desires to quicken your spirit. He desires to make you alive. That's His desire. He wants salvation for you and for your entire family. That's His desire. We have to believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But for that to happen, we have to be made alive. God places that faith deep inside of who we are so that we can connect to Him. Because He is Spirit. And the only way to connect to Him is if your spirit's made alive.
How do we focus on Jesus with our spirit? What do we do with our spirit so that we can see Jesus in all He is for us? The first step, the beginning, one of the most vital ways is simple. Pastor talks about it every Sunday. It's through praise and worship. John 4:23-24 says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. When we have accepted Christ as our Savior, and we have accepted that He is the only way, our spirit comes alive. Our spirit connects us, connects our soul to the Holy Spirit, connects us to God the Father. Before that time, before salvation, there was no connection. God couldn't look at us because of our sin. But when we are redeemed, when we have confessed Christ as Lord, and that Spirit rises up within us and is alive and communes with God the Father, how do we express it? Through joy, through praise and worship. Our spirits become one with Him as we praise Him, as we sing to Him, as we call out to Him. David, in Psalm 34, 1 through 5, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Our spirit longs to have communion with God. Our spirit longs to be one with the Holy Spirit. Christ Himself prayed that we would be one. Praise and worship is not simply something we do to pass the time. Praise and worship is focusing our spirits on Jesus. It's focusing our mind, our heart, our soul, our bodies. When we are in true praise and worship, everything is focused on God. Everything is focused on Jesus. Praise and worship is the beginning of the battle. In the Old Testament, who was sent first into battle? It was the praisers and the worshipers. The Levites led the battle. If we have a battle in our lives, in our spirits, we need to praise and worship and get our focus on Jesus. In that same Psalm 34:14, it says, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. If our spirits are focused on Jesus, we have the ability to depart from evil. If we don't allow our spirits to commune with God, if we don't allow our focus to be strictly on Him, how can we depart from evil? How can we do good? There are people all over the world doing good things. Good things is easy to do. It's really easy to feed someone who's hungry. It's really easy to pat someone on the back who's crying. Lots of people do that. Doesn't mean that they have a spirit that's with the Lord. It says, depart from evil and do good. The Bible says there is no one good save Jesus Christ, right? So if we're going to depart from evil and do good, our focus has to be on Jesus so that we can do the good He does. We can lead people to Jesus. The good that we do is only from what we've seen Him do. And the good He did was what He saw the Father do. And the only way we're going to understand that is if our spirits are alive in Him. If we're worried about, as John said, traditions of men, which the Word also says brings the Word of God to no effect. If we believe in traditions of men, how can we focus on the truth of God's Word? the purifying work of God's word. How do we focus on Jesus? We purify ourselves. 1 Peter 1:22.
Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
It says, since you have purified your souls, we purify our heart and mind by obeying the truth of God's word through the Spirit. We purify ourselves by obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. If we're not sincere in our love for one another, if we're hanging on to traditions of men or our own ambitions or to things that are not of God because we have pride, arrogance, or we're assuming things in the Word, we can't be purified. We have to love one another with sincere love. Obeying the Spirit does not mean simply, oh, I feel like God is telling me I need to sing now. Sometimes that happens, and that's true. But the next step is taking the action to love brethren, to take your spirit to another person and share Christ, to actually live out what we're called to do in God's word. We focus with our spirit in the word. John 6:63. Jesus is speaking here. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. The spirit that Christ is speaking with is the same spirit that he sent to us. Our words can bring life like Jesus does. The words of Christ are life, tangible life. The words of Christ bring power to forgive sins, to change lives, to change whole countries, to change the world. The word of Christ is powerful. There is nothing greater than that. And God put his word in us. If we are focused on Christ and our spirit is alive in him, and we are speaking his words, we can speak life into situations, into other people, into the broken, the bruised, the people who are misinformed, the people who have been lied to, the people who don't know the word enough and are led to and fro by anyone who has a strong personality. If we have that living spirit within us, then we have words that are life, as we become more and more like Jesus. It's a powerful thing. In Ephesians 6, the word is called a sword. It's part of our armor. John mentioned this verse earlier, Hebrews 4:12.
It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the word of God.
What is the word given through? For us, it's through our mouth, our tongues. How do we focus our tongues on the Spirit? Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. But James 3:10 says, out of that same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. You have to make a decision. We have to make a decision. Do we use our mouths for blessings and to be like Christ? Or do we curse others because we don't get our way? Do we curse others because we believe in a tradition of man or a doctrine of man over the word of God? We focus on Jesus with our spirit by making sure that every word that proceeds out of our mouth is covered in His Holy Spirit, His blood. Every word that we speak has the power of life in it, has the power to bless, has the power to change lives. Being connected to the Holy Spirit is our great gift from God the Father that was given upon Jesus' ascension into heaven.
Jesus wants to baptize us with His Holy Spirit and with fire, to bring His life to the world that desperately needs it, to defeat the flesh. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to one another, that you do not do the things that you wish. We need to open ourselves up to God's Spirit to lead us, to cause us to walk forward in His power and in His love. And this is my desire. This is our desire. For every one of you, that you are able to experience the fullness of God, experience the fullness of His Holy Spirit living in each one of you. That's our desire. Over in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Verse 16, that He would grant you, according to His riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. God wants His Spirit to be living inside your heart. You ever heard that? Come and live in my heart, Jesus. Come and live in my heart. I know some people argue, hey, that's not in the Bible. Guess what? It's right here. Ephesians 3:16. to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. God wants to quicken your inner person. The core of who you are, he wants to bring life to it, to make you alive in the innermost part of your being. You heard the song, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." Yes. Jesus wants his Spirit, your Spirit, alive. He wants to come into the center of who you are and make you alive. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is not something you can understand with your flesh. You need to come to Jesus. You need to be made alive in your spirit in order to understand the mysteries of God, the deep things of God. You need to be made alive.
Over the past 3 weeks, the Lord has shared verses that seem to be key verses. Our bodies, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And today, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Just like in the very beginning, he himself formed our bodies and made us his own creation. He wants to sanctify us completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our bodies are not our own. Our spirits are not our own. Our soul belongs to him. And Jesus longs for what we read in Matthew 17:8, that we would lift up our eyes and see no one but Jesus only. Let's pray.
Lord God, we thank you that you do give grace. That you do give grace to the humble, Lord God. Help us to be humble. Help us to set aside our flesh and be made alive to your Spirit, that we may be preserved blameless at your coming, Lord Jesus. That we would be ready for your glorious appearing. Amen.